Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Today is the 150th year. 150 years ago today, Abraham Lincoln, President Abraham Lincoln, which is which president? What number of president is that?
He
is
the 16, I believe.
Passes the 16th president of the United States. Yeah, and he's the penny president. He gave the Gettysburg Address 150 years ago today. So we're going to actually hear the Gettysburg Address from the movie Lincoln. And we're going to hear, you know, we want to, because I truly, this is how I feel. And this is what God's doing to me. I mean, he's doing a lot of stuff. But one is injustice. I'm watching the news. I'm watching, you don't do this too often. I don't recommend it. But God just has me to walk in and see things at certain times. And I watched, you know, one man do something and get life in jail. And the very next frame I saw was law enforcement officers doing the very same thing and not even getting a pay cut or getting taken off the payroll and still have their job. Mm-hmm. And then the next frame, a couple, you know, weeks later, I'm seeing a man that pulled the trigger. The gun didn't even go off at an officer, and he gets life in prison. So if you sandwich that in between, these, and by the way, the two suspects that got life were African-American, that no matter how you look at that, it just looks unjust. I mean, I'm not saying that the two guys on both ends of this thing didn't go to jail. I'm just thinking about what happened in between. I mean, if justice is justice, you know, and acknowledgement is acknowledgement, my heart just crunched like, okay, he pulled the trigger and it didn't go off, but somebody else pulled the trigger 15 times at an innocent man who was still in recovery, who has just disappeared off the face of media and recognition. It has, what, been like 120 days yet? It hadn't been 90, 100 days, whatever.
It hadn't been long.
July of anyway, so, and I'm just thinking, I don't know, you know, I'm just thinking, dear Lord, don't help me not to get in the wrong thing, but I just feel like this is right. I think God is bringing America to have a conversation, because I can't help but see that it just seems like Nebuchadnezzar, you know what I'm saying? It's like God's a servant here. He's bringing America to its place that it was supposed to be all along. And I just happened, just as it always, I caught the one part that I'm sure John wanted me to see, a Wilberforce. Wilberforce movie where they just discovered, listen, let's just don't bring the issue up. Let's talk about flags. And kind of watched it from that point on. I said, man, that's always been happening. And people are talking about how things are being accomplished right now in Congress and Senate and using all these rules and stuff. It's been happening ever since man was here. I mean, things happen, and sometimes, you know, good things happen that way, and sometimes bad things happen that way. But I would say, if I was a slave in Great Britain during the time of Wilberforce, that at that point they abolished all slavery in all of England at that one moment. Well, within 2 years of that, 70% disappeared at that one decision, and within 2 years, the rest of it disappeared. And you'll see, and we'll be talking about it in the future, about American history, which is not converged, then that's when this evil spirit principality over America began to crank up oppression on African Americans, because they began to panic. Slave owners began to panic and thinking, if Great Britain has done that, then this is going to happen. Freedom's going to come next. So instead of joining in with what's right, a righteous movement of a few, it wasn't everybody in Great Britain, that they actually clamped down, not the majority of America, but the ones who were oppressing the African American. But silence is the same thing as oppression. And there's nothing more depressing and oppressing than you in a crowd of folks and you're seeing, you're being treated unjustly. And with those that call themselves your friends and call themselves the friends of God, say nothing. And then when the crowd leaves, then they come up to you and they go, I cannot believe what was just said. And we just can't be silent like that. So many things are taking place right now. The one thing I want to talk about is the 150th anniversary. It's the 150th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address. And why this is so important, is that it's the Gettysburg Address. It was the Civil War that was going on. The Civil War came after the Second Great Awakening. Understand, a Great Awakening is what brings about, it just hacks out the hard ground and causes things to begin to happen in the natural that begin in the spiritual first. And so this followed a Second Great Awakening. So imagine what will follow a Third Great Awakening.
Wow.
Because things are, justice is really happening in a beautiful way, simultaneously why wrong things are happening. And, you know, let God tell you how that's all going to work out. But that's, if you read biblically, that's what happens simultaneously. Here Jesus was born, but yet all these babies were, abortion was cranked up at the time that a baby was born. But actually there was good things happening. It's just bad was trying to find the good and destroy it and tried to kill as many children as it could. And despite all the pain and the bloodshed and everything else that Herod was doing, Jesus lived. And because he lived, we can live. And because he died, we can live in the family. And so today is 150th year of the Gettysburg Address. And I want first just to listen to, this is an actor, you know, speaking from the movie Lincoln. And it was, this is right? It's like a different one here. But in the context of it, we want to be able to hear the Gettysburg Address and then talk about it. This is the context of this. America has been at war. 750,000 Americans approximately are dead. Blood is all over the soil of this nation. But understand this. It's there because of oppression. It's there because of part of America. Individuals in America made their money. When we talked about, you didn't build that. We talked about that when you heard the president say,
you didn't build that.
We understand that came from, I believe, not. It has nothing to do with what's going on. He's talking about what President Lincoln's talking about here. And President Lincoln was talking about, this is unjust. This is unjust. This is what he was saying.
You didn't build that.
And he did this. He had the Gettysburg Address to begin to say, you know, what is this? And he's talking about all the bloodshed that consecrated, all that blood consecrated us to be who we're truly supposed to be. As a matter of fact, listen up right now. To the Gettysburg Address.
The President of the United States!
Resistance to the war was growing. Mr. Lincoln needed to reinvigorate the people, to explain to them, and perhaps himself, why this endless plague of war must continue.
67 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now, we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they here gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Totally awesome. I'm totally awesome. That was we finally came to the point. I mean, we can say what we want to. You can say what you want to, but it wasn't until President Abraham Lincoln, who went through this life of brokenness and pain, and I can't even go through all the, and maybe we talked about it somewhere on the VFN Torch, and you can relate it to this, but when he got there, I mean, he lost his son, he just lost his wife, he lost her mind, and it's almost like the nation lost its mind, and everything was fighting against this president to just not give in. And his biggest support was coming from the South. And they're threatening him because the economy and the money that was there. And today's the 150th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address. And the 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, was the president during a time of major transition of America getting to the place of living up to what God laid on our founding father's heart, which they began to pin down, and that they were strongholded by a stronghold to be able to not fully go into the reality of all men are created equal. Mm-hmm. All men are created equal. And it's a government by and for all the people. You know, we've all been created by our Creator. And we all have equal rights, equal civil rights under. And so in the middle of the civil, this is a civil war, and it's kind of hard to understand that, especially for today's generation, but even in previous generations didn't walk through that. But there was a huge oppression on the globe of the earth where the African people were oppressed. Many people were oppressed. Many, many different, it's always been somebody oppressing somebody. I'm not saying that. But we're talking about the American story here, that America was so known for its slave trade that England would, and France, and these different countries that were into the trading African Americans for slavery, they would fly the American flag on their ships to assure that nobody could board them. And it was Wilberforce that through the parliament that got them to take the American flag off their boats.
Wow.
And by doing that, 70% of the trade stopped. And within 2 years, it totally stopped in Great Britain. But, you know, you think when one bad guy stops doing what they're doing, that they made a decision to do it. But the truth is, a righteous man stood. And because he stood, it was hard for evil men not to look as evil as they were. And they had to give in to their own systems of control because they found out that a righteous man understood their mechanism.
It was evil.
It was evil. But they understood Parliament. They understood how I'm just going to say what they said. It's a Latin word that they used, and he said, and they couldn't do anything because that's the system they created to try to control, you know, authority and the way they wanted it to go. Well, here they are. And you think, okay, well, hey, you know, Great Britain's come to their senses over here. They're not going to have any. It was totally abolished. Slavery was abolished in Great Britain. And so in America, although slavery wasn't all over America, the southern states of America, that the plantation owners and the people that owned slaves and sold slaves, they cranked it up a notch. They cranked it up a notch. They became panicky. Because now this they didn't call it a righteous movement, but a righteous movement was caused them to be fearful. So they began to actually clamp down and promulgate oppression at a greater level. Mm. We're talking about today's 150th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address. And when you read the Gettysburg Address, these 121 words, whatever it is, that it just brings us to the reality. Now we are a government by the people and for the people. Now, you know, it's equal. We're equal, you know, the type of thing. Mm-hmm. And the bloodshed of over 750,000 Americans, which means this, America, it means this, that many people of all colors, some were on the side to free America from the oppression of slavery, and some were on the side to oppress people, oppress African Americans and continue slavery. And if anybody was an African American that was on that side, they were forced to be on that side. That was not something that they would, you know, it's just, okay. You know, when it's, we can't even wrap our hands around. I'm waiting for 12 years a slave to come out where I can actually watch it on Clearplay. Mm. But I think it tells a real good story. I was listening to the author, the screenwriter that wrote it, and he's trying to be just true to the story. And to understand the severity of this, because Clearplay, by the way, just so you know, you can actually pull out languages and things that offend God and your spirit in the context of that. But I wouldn't pull out the consequences of slavery. I would actually say we need to see it. We need to look it square in the face. That's like right. Schindler's List. We need to look at that square in the face for what it was. Don't cover up our history. Let's learn from it so we don't repeat it. Mm-hmm. And in the context of that, that here he is. He went through the Civil War where the whole country's divided. People are like, I don't know if we're going to make it. It's like, dude. This is we're like living in soda. We're living in Baskin Robbins today compared to that. I mean, this is nothing. And besides, it's almost like 150 years later. It took 150 years to get to this place where we can finally have an African American president and be okay with it. The people in America that had these issues and these strongholds. I mean, it's just amazing. But when you go back and look, and this is what the screenwriter of 12 Years a Slave was talking about, and I haven't seen the movie, but they did talk about how gruesome it was, which I think was kind of offensive to me, because like, yeah, does it bother you that my great-great-grandfather was beat with a whip? We can't see that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, it was like, I love these historians that are coming out now.
Yeah.
And he says, this is what he's saying. I'm sorry. I wish I could get. They'll have a related article who this guy is that wrote this, 12 Years a Slave. And I haven't seen the movie yet, but I will see it under Clearplay. Is that he said, there is no such thing as a white America or black America, something to that effect. He says, we're watching this movie as Americans. This is our history. And we need to watch it. And that's what's got to happen. We got to bring all of our history together because we're one people. And the sad thing about it, part of our people oppressed part of our people and treated part of our people horrifically. And we got to deal with that. You know, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Because that means your brother and your sister, your fellow citizen who actually had constitutional rights, who an oppressive faction inside of America held back, and Abraham Lincoln said, we're going to hit this thing. We're going to deal with this thing. And, it's a spirit. Racism is a spirit. It just anybody lifting themselves over anybody. It doesn't matter what it is. It happens in classrooms with the same race. Even in the context of understanding when people of different shades of a race will begin to say, well, I'm light skin, I'm dark skin, I'm red bone, I'm this. I'm like, that's the enemy, man. We're brothers.
Right.
We're brothers. You know, we should not divide ourselves by the ethnicity or our skin color. The epidermis, the little thin layer that kind of gives
melanin.
Us... Melanin. Say that.
Melanin?
Melanin, yeah. But understand that this is a beautiful day to celebrate because it's like 150 years later, we're closer now than we've ever been before of beginning to just have this conversation, but also it helps you understand if that's our history and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, it can help you also understand why people, all of our brothers and sisters of all different races, if that spirit stayed in their family and they never did let it go, they never did have God to renounce it in their life or break it, it still permeates their DNA and they say things and do things that are oppressive or responsive or something of that nature. And it's for the church to rise up and say, you know what? You know, God loves us all. We're all created in His image and His likeness, and give us a biblical worldview of who we are as a nation. And I think, and I'm really thinking more and more about Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries, when in his book he was writing about that he believed the Third Great Awakening would come through the African American because of their journey. And what you have prominently, it seems like you always have the counterfeit before you have the real deal. Make sure you don't just shut the door to anything just because somebody came through it the wrong way. Keep the door there. Don't close it up. Because understand that the enemy somehow, some way, and it could be God just to find out who actually wants him and who's actually, doing, I don't know, but it seems like the counterfeit always shows up before the real deal. And but the African-American, I mean, how appropriate is that? Would be a part and be leading into the Third Great Awakening. They'll be the ones that, that rise up. Like, you know, you think about in 1907 or whatever with William Seymour. I mean, that's Azusa Street.
That's right.
One African-American man who lived a life in the midst of all this we're talking about and still cried out for God and God moved. And today there's so many godly men and women of all races and godly men and women like Stan.
Yeah,
the bus driver at Rutgers. Yeah, at Rutgers. And he just wanted to be on his bus. You know what I'm saying? They fired him because he prayed for somebody. And
he said he won't compromise.
He said, no,
I won't do it.
He won't do it. And so when you hear the president say,
you didn't build that.
Go deeper than your politics. Go deeper than speak. Think of it as a prophecy, and God is speaking through. I don't know. Didn't he give Nebuchadnezzar a dream talking about that we're still studying today, waiting for it to be unfolded, that Daniel interpreted?
You didn't build that.
Didn't he also give Pharaoh a dream that Joseph had to come in and give an interpretation of it?
He sure did.
You didn't build that.
Could it be possible? Could it be possible that God's confronting America to understanding that?
You didn't build that.
That much of our wealth and much of our stability and the fact that we survived as a nation in our beginning years is because the African-American brothers and sisters who were oppressed and were slave labor kept our economy afloat, kept us afloat during that time. And somehow we need to have this conversation and say, God, what do you want us to do? What do you want to do with it? Because we want to be able to honor our brothers and our sisters. And the Lord, we want to do what's right before you. And God loves honor, by the way. If you don't know this or not,
yes, He does.
It's kind of difficult to see that in today's culture. But God loves honor. And go deeper than your politics and your political party, than your labor unions and all that. Go all the way, study our whole history and realize that this country was built. It was built. And this was their greatest fear. This is what they felt like when they started seeing the slavery abolished in Great Britain, that American economy would crumble. And understand, it was the wealth that was gained in the South that gave the congressmen in the South and the senators in the South a stronghold on the entire United States. And they had more power in Congress. They had it all sewed up. Even when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was there, I think it was totally sewed up in the context, and it was a Democratic Party, by the way, at that point, that was doing that. And in the context of it, that he had to work through all that. President Lincoln had to work through all of that and to say, either way, this is just right. This is just right thing to do. And what we need today, we need leaders that are going to do just what's right, like the stand, the bus driver at the college there. You know, so many people are still like, I want to be an Abraham Lincoln. I want to be a George Washington. I want to be a Ronald Reagan. I want to be, and it's like, do you really think these men and women that God uses men and women, and he says, I want to be able to have a carbon copy of somebody in 200 years ago, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, to be able to do what they did? Or is he saying, listen, there has to be men and women to know who they are and what their value system is and what God is called, what God says, and not to be compromising what God says. And understand, God loves folks. God's into government. God, all authority is established by God. Understand that if we follow God, then he will begin to reestablish and reformulate us and change our DNA. A third great awakening could take place. This is the 150th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address, where finally 750,000 people, their blood was shed for us to finally begin to walk out where everybody in America is treated constitutionally the same. Obviously, there's so much to be said about it, but it's like, my goodness, you think about that. And that was 100 years later, when Dr. King gave the speech in the Washington Mall, I Have a Dream speech.
Mm-hmm.
So 100 years after the Gettysburg Address, the Emancipation Proclamation, that
wow.
executive order, mind you, because Congress was set against it, and it was a righteous executive order, mm-hmm. that it took 100 years later for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to be standing on the Mall.
Wow.
To talk about what President Abraham Lincoln was speaking about and what he was willing to, he understood that, hey, this is so bad, this is so evil, that there's obviously going to be bloodshed here. Mm. People say that he was wishy-washy, and I was watching on C-SPAN 3 with authors that have did all these biographies on Lincoln and these different perspectives. But one thing that was consistent was, and people look at him like he was some, you know, soft, you know, easily swayed person type thing. Is that he was far from that.
He was very wise.
You know, he knew his value system. He knew what, he was willing to do whatever it took to bring to pass what he thought was right. I mean, you couldn't do that without having that kind of still understanding of who your what your values are. And today, a lot of folks don't even know what the word value means, much less have them. I mean, we talk about value-based vision management, and there's so that statement means so much, because people without vision perish, but people without values, you know, get on wrong visions that bring about wrong, evil outcomes. And but he knew who he was, and they're talking about this one thing he knew. He knew his value system, and it was a value system that drove him to do what he did. But it took 100 years later, John, and because it does, everybody thinks, well, all of a sudden, you know, they, you know, it's like somebody said, we got married today, everything's fine, we'll be married, everything will be perfect from this day on. Right. Anybody who's been married knows, well, this is going to be a journey of you learning how to live together, mm-hmm. going through processes in life. So a lot of people talk like the day the Emancipation Proclamation was signed and that the Civil War ended is like, okay, everything's great, and everybody gets a horse and a mule, 40 acres and a mule. Right. And it's like, that lasted for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, after 150 years of slavery in America, not the United States, but in America, that we gave our brothers and sisters 10 years, 40 acres and a mule, and then the people, some people in government got paranoid that all of a sudden, because they knew how to do things better because they were the ones that were doing things.
Mm.
Everybody else is just kind of sitting around while they did it.
Mm.
And so kings would come, by the way. The Pope would actually come to a particular African-American who had his own 40 acres, and he grew his own cotton. And it was so good. It was such a fine cotton that that the Pope would come and buy from him.
Wow.
But you understand, it's not odd, because that's who was actually doing
they
the work.
Doing
that's who actually, those were the scientists, you know, those were the Washington carvers. Those are the ones, you know, those are the ones that are that, and it's just the reality hit them in 10 years and they're going like, wait a minute, we don't know nothing. Right. And it should have went longer than 10 years. It should have gone a long, long time, because it takes a while to find your family, to learn how to be family again, mm-hmm. learn how to function in society as a person, as a human being with rights and value and to locate my family. And people talk today, says, you know, why does this large African-American family, why do they make this big deal about coming together once a year? And sometimes some families have this big, huge production where they'll bring in, I mean, just like this whole big everything. The reason why, if you understand history, is to be able to have your family together and be able to trace your family because of what happened in the history of America. That's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. To know who's related to who and who's related to who, and this person beget that person, beget this person. That was taken from the African-American person, citizen, in America in its early days, and in the United States of America after it began in 1776 and Constitution in 1778. And it wasn't until the Gettysburg Address, well, it wasn't until the Civil War, President Lincoln said, you know, let's do this. You know, and let's have the conversation. And so what I was saying earlier, I just want to, in the context of that, is I know we're staying up, but hey, it's the 150-year anniversary, that if 750,000 Americans died to be able to change this evil, evil practice of slavery and holding our brothers and sisters in slavery and rape and tearing the families apart, and just, it was, we're the only nation, by the way, that slavery ever grew in. Normally slavery would start in a nation and then it would kind of wane off and the numbers would get smaller. We went from like something like 1 million to 4 million or something like that, mm-hmm. inside the context of the slaves that were in America. And obviously it was, they're considered, it was just not, it was just terrible. But 750,000 people gave their life to fight for one side or the other. And the ones that fall for the wrong side, yeah, they fall for the wrong side. Totally in agreement with that. And I know that it was spiritual, the fact that they do. It was the devil had these guys think you could do that to somebody and eat a meal and get over it, as one person told. But there was another side of America who said, this ought not to be so. And they were not all people of color. As a matter of fact, 40,000 people of African Americans died in the Civil War, that's reported approximately 40,000 based on reports that I've seen. It could be more or less. That's for a lot of reasons. It's not because I don't think the African-American didn't want to fight. I just think they weren't allowed to fight because the oppression was happening more in the South, and people probably were holding them back from fighting. Although they did rise up. They did raise up in several. But I mean, 750,000. Folks, that means this. It means this to understand your fellow Americans, is that a lot of people fought for the right to be free from slavery and to get back to what the Gettysburg Address talked about, and to get back to what the original intent of this nation was about, which is all of us are created equal before by God. Mm-hmm. We have the same rights. Everyone has the same rights. We all have the same Bill of Civil Rights. And because of the constitutional way it was written, it allowed us to amend our Constitution and give everybody the rights and say, this is just how it is. And a lot of bloodshed took place. And by the way, and this is why it's so offensive, in case you don't know it, this is why it's so offensive for you to fly a flag that represents the South in the days that was oppressing the African American. That's a no-brainer. To fly a flag that represents the oppression of my family in history, of being traded and raped and mm-hmm. building this economy and all that. It's not what you think it is. You got to think deeper than this. Of all the flags that need to be burned, it's that flag that right. needs to be burned. It never needs to be shown again unless it's in a museum, so we don't forget what happened and that we'll never again repeat such a thing in our nation. We have to stand up. God is a just God, and we need to stand up. And I believe there's something happening in society today that we're going to have a conversation that's going to bring us into the next 100 years to the time of Dr. King, 150 years to today, and I think it's very significant. There's something significant going on. If we listen to God, God may bring us into this third great awakening, and in it, it could be rough. On the other side of it, look what came. We came to be the nation that we are today. Imagine what we can be tomorrow when God changes our DNA. This is so relevant because it's like we finally began the pain that America had to go through to finally be who God's called us to be, and understanding it was the day we began to start the journey of becoming who we need to be. And 50 years later, after the Gettysburg Address, 100 years later, after the Gettysburg Address, That's when Dr. King was still, God was still speaking to us through an, I believe, an apostle of God, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on the Mall, of saying, we haven't got there yet. This is not the full intent yet, but I've been to the mountaintop. I've seen this is coming, and things have come. And the I believe, but it's when we look at ourselves and understand that there's one America. There's one America under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, and the uniqueness of America. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not, we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFNTV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.